Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, we're going to be speaking with some candidates in two of the hottest races in East County, the La Mesa City Council and Grossmont Union High School District races. La Mesa has two open seats on its council, since longtime Councilman Ernie Ewing is retiring and Councilman Mark Rapostathos is running for mayor. Five challengers are running for the council. The race has attracted big money, the most ever spent on a La Mesa election, with big money donations topped by developers and the pro-development Lincoln Club. It has also sparked a barrage of negative campaign mailers. We invited all candidates to be interviewed, and so far, four of them have come into our studio. We're airing their interviews in the order that the candidates responded and were taped. Today, you'll hear our interviews with Patrick Dean and Pete Gregorovic. On Wednesday, we'll air our interviews with Bill Baber and Mary England. The fifth candidate, Guy McWhorter, canceled his interview one day after media stories revealed that he gave money to a political action committee to send out hit pieces targeting England, mailers that contained misleading and inaccurate distortions of her record as a former Lemon Grove council member. McWhorter informed us that he needed to assist his daughter, who is 9 months pregnant, with her work, and thus far he has not responded to our request to reschedule his interview. McWhorter is a political unknown who has never held public office. An insurance agent and former bishop in the Mormon Church, he has succeeded in attracting large donations from the Lincoln Club along with Baber, and the two are running together as a slate. Baber is a current La Mesa Spring Valley School Board member, and he chairs the City of La Mesa Sustainability Commission. He is also a political consultant and a registered lobbyist for the Associated Builders and Contractors. England is president of La Mesa's Chamber of Commerce, and she was the driving force behind reviving the chamber when it became defunct before she took the helm. She has organized events such as Oktoberfest and Taste of La Mesa for the community and local businesses, also working on children's charitable causes. Patrick Dean is the only Democrat in the race. He is a chef who also serves on La Mesa's Community Services Commission. He is running on a slogan of being beholden to no one. Pete Gregorovic is an attorney who has headed up youth sports leagues for many years locally in La Mesa. Two of these five will win seats on the council and could swing it in new directions. Now a century old, La Mesa faces many important issues moving forward, with smart growth and the nature of future development topping the list. The hottest issue in La Mesa of late has centered around whether or not a high-rise development, Park Station, should be built. Another is whether Mayor Art Madrid's wish to build a new City Hall and Civic Center Plaza will come to fruition or not. In the Grossmont Union High School District race, the stakes are also very high. The hottest issues are whether the district should build an Alpine High School or cooperate with allowing the district to be broken up so that Alpine families would become part of the Alpine Union School District, and it could then build the long-promised high school. The Grossmont District has been the target of a grand jury report and two lawsuits over its refusal to build an Alpine High School, despite two bond measures approved by voters for that purpose. Fed-up parents now seek to divorce from the Grossmont District and unify with the Alpine Union School District so that it can build the school instead. The County Board of Education has sided with Alpine parents and recommended unification to the State Board of Education. But unification has caused some strange bedfellows in this race. The teachers' union surprised many by endorsing candidates who they bitterly opposed during divisive labor negotiations recently because of the potential for the district to lose money as a result of unification. Jim Kelly and Robert Shields, who have repeatedly opposed building the Alpine High School, are up for re-election. Gary Woods, who was previously voted off the board, is trying to regain his seat. He opposed both bond measures to fund the Alpine High School. Three challengers are also running. Shirley Anderson, Barbara Stevens, and Steve Matias all support an Alpine High School. Anderson and Stevens have some powerful backing from the Saquon tribe, which wants to see the school built and unification proceed. Matias, a former student in the district, is now a law student at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. Today we'll be talking with Matias and airing a taped interview with Stevens later in the week, and we have extended invitations to all candidates in the race. In addition to our coverage on our radio show, we also have continuing in-depth stories on our website with links to key documents and details at eastcountymagazine.org. So stay tuned for these important interviews on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. This week, we are speaking with candidates for the La Mesa City Council. There are five people running, and my very special guest today is Patrick Dean. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hi, Miriam. Thanks for having me.
Now, Patrick is a chef. He has run for the council before. He's married, has kids, and Patrick serves on the Community Services Commission, which oversees the parks in La Mesa. He's been a La Mesa resident for 7 years. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Miriam. It's great to be here.
So tell us, what compelled you to run for the council this time around?
Well, I have been going to the city council meetings for many years. I attend all of them. And when I look at what's going on the city council, I don't feel like all of La Mesa's citizens are represented. I think that there's a very business-friendly environment, which is not a bad thing, but that the other 57,000 residents who don't have a business on La Mesa Boulevard could use a little more representation. And I would like to see a council that is more balanced in that regard.
Okay. What do you believe your most important qualifications, skills, or experiences are, Patrick?
Well, I've been studying the city council for a long time. I'm very willing to work with other people and have paid attention to what's going on in La Mesa. My primary goal is to look out for how the city grows in terms of when my daughters, who are 7 and 12, grow up, that they'll have a place that they can possibly buy a residence in La Mesa, and that they'll have a sustainable environment that will be a good life, a good quality of life for them.
What is your definition of leadership? This is a question we're asking all the candidates.
I think that it is looking out for what's best for the community, even when you're going to get a hard time for it. I've been outspoken on a lot of issues, and there are times when I think it's all about what do the residents of La Mesa want. And there are times when you need to look up and say, listen, what's best for everybody is to look to the future and to make sure that we make the right decisions, even if they're not popular.
Redevelopment and infill are major issues in La Mesa, which is built out. It's at only 9 square miles. What is your definition of smart growth for the city?
Yeah, this is the big issue in this election, I believe. We need to look at the fact that Sandag's predictions for La Mesa population growth are 9,000 additional residents by 2030 and 21,000 additional residents by 2050. That's a lot of cars, traffic, congestion if we keep building the way we're building. What we need to do is to create living spaces that are connected by safe, separated bike paths, able to use the public transportation and get people out of cars. And that's a big issue. It's going to take a long time, but that we need to look seriously at making sure that there is the appropriate kind of infrastructure developed so that when these people arrive, they're not just camping out and doubling up in the homes that already exist and overtaxing our infrastructure, but there are places that we have created for them to live and thrive in this city.
Okay, and we'll go into some more detail on those issues in a moment. But first, I would like to ask you, Patrick, how important is sustainability and addressing climate change issues at the city level, in your opinion? What would your priorities be? And I know you're running on a green platform with a slogan of, if you want green, vote for Dean.
That's right. I've always looked towards, in my personal life, finding ways to be sustainable. And one of the things that first brought me to the city council meetings was the fact that I wanted to keep backyard hens.
Ah, yes, chicken ownership.
Yes.
You led the successful battle to make chicken ownership legal in most of La Mesa.
So in my everyday life, I try and find ways to reuse water, to use less electricity, and to use less gasoline in my car, drive an electric vehicle, to find ways that we can reduce our carbon footprint, cut back on the red meat, all these things that on the city level, I believe is the best opportunity to make changes that will drastically reduce our carbon as opposed to this, the Sacramento or Washington, D.C., where there's just a barrage of lobbyists trying to knock down any proposals that might come through, that we have enough control over our local government that we can make the changes that we need to do. We need to put solar panels on public buildings, that we need to get more people into transit and make it so that we have a pedestrian and bike-friendly environment.
Okay. What about parks? I know that you're on the commission that deals with that issue.
That's right. And in the neighborhood that I live, down by City Hall, there really isn't a park within a close walking distance that I can use as much as I would like. I think that any development that happens needs to look to how can we put more green spaces that are really usable by the citizens into the plan that we're developing. And I think that's a golden opportunity where the old police station is down by the trolley, and now we have parking lots.
Mm-hmm. How important is preserving the historic character of the downtown village to you? And also, can you comment specifically on your views on the general plan and its height and density limits? Do you believe that those should be negotiable sometimes? And if so, under what circumstances, and on a one or two time occasion, or is that something where you'd support a lot of high rise development?
Well, the village is, of course, one of the most picturesque places in East County. And one of the reasons I moved here, I think, is because when we were looking around San Diego, I had moved from New York, we came across the village and we really just fell in love with it. It's a beautiful place. I would strive to keep it much the same along the corridor over La Mesa Boulevard. But I think that outside of that, there is a lot of underused space that we need to really address as a whole picture. That in the Park Station development, I really think the Planning Commission did a great job of looking at the proposal to create a special zone just for that property. And I think they knocked it down for good reason, because it's just basically giving a blank check to a developer to do something that isn't a very good plan.
So he's at the 11 stories, and before that 18 stories was too high.
Yeah, and even the way that it's been configured is that it's putting all the traffic up front on Baltimore and University, mm-hmm. with parking on Baltimore, which makes no sense. It's just you're adding a lot of traffic and then you're blocking it up with parking. It does make sense for a developer, because then he can rent spaces that have parking in front, which is the most lucrative for him. Any amenities that would be available to me as a neighborhood resident, I would have to go through their parking lot to the backside of the plan to get there. And I don't think that's fair. I think what should be encouraged is that they put the egress where cars are coming in and out focused on the back, where they already have the Nebo and the freeway entrances, and put the pedestrian-friendly front that really allows it to connect as a pedestrian and bicycle corridor with the Civic Center and the village. That this is just a bad plan. What we should do is work with the Planning Commission and make sure that we have a Planning Commission that's on board to look at the entire area and create a new zone that separates it out of the village plan. For what do we as a community, and we sit down and we hash it out and say, what can we do given the fact that we do need to grow, that there are all these people coming.
So you're saying you might support 6 or 8 stories maybe?
Yes.
If there was certain trade-offs on that property.
Yeah, I walk my dog in around that neighborhood a lot. And mm-hmm. one of my neighbors is the Springs, which is an 8-story building behind Vaughn's. Now, this building provides a tremendous amount of low-income senior housing. It's a real asset to the community, and it's 8 stories. I am not offended by that as a neighbor or as a pedestrian, and could see that in the one property that is the biggest area of opportunity for us to have some kind of cohesive development that maybe works with the entire neighborhood, that there could be one or two buildings that would be a little bit bigger.
Now, you talked about the Civic Center Plaza as well. What would your plan or your vision be for that property, Patrick?
I think that when we sit down with the Planning Commission, that their primary goal should be to create a park space where we now have the parking lots down by the trolley center with underground parking and a plaza like the, there are other examples of it in San Diego, the Rio Vista. I think there are some good examples of smart development of that are something like the Rio Vista in Mission Valley, where they did create a town square surrounded by mixed use development with bigger buildings and density housing in the back. That a true design down by the Civic Center, where we put in the library that we're supposed to be building, according to the agreement we made with the county, is already something we should have, and that, you know, that might be the time to look into down the road having a better city hall and space like that. But that it needs to be the whole plan, that the whole community sits down and says, okay, this is what we need. Let's show some leadership and show people that it's really not about whether they're going to keep the village exactly as it is or have high rises. Those aren't the two options, because number one, we're not going to keep the village the way it is. It's going to grow, and the traffic that I encountered coming down near 70th and the freeway there is a nightmare now. It's going to just get worse. We need to plan for that. And it doesn't have to be all high rises. We need a pedestrian and bike friendly, people friendly.
So green belt, a plaza.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about Grossmont Center? The lease is coming up. The old owners are taking it back, I understand, and going to be coming before council with some plans. Do you have any specific ideas for that property that you'd like to put forward?
Well, I think that they're smart individuals that are probably going to come up with what is best for that property. I'd have to wait to see what they came up with.
Okay. Let's talk about the budget. I would like to know what your budget priorities will be, and if you have any particular ideas on cutting expenses or raising revenues for the city.
Well, I think that raising revenues as part of growing the city is that would definitely be a long-term plan, that we would have more income if we did do the right kind of development. I worry that we're not offering a very good plan to our police officers that and our firemen and our EMT and our public employees, that we are losing a lot of officers to the sheriff's department, that I think we need to make sure that we don't cut off our noses, bite our faces.
What about the needs of seniors and youths in La Mesa, Patrick? Do you have any specific ideas for them?
Definitely do. I think that the seniors need a better way to get around. That we have, with Mr. Ewing retiring, there's going to be a seat on the MTS board that I think should be filled with someone that will advocate for possibly working with them to get some additional shuttles going or some way to work with them to help get the seniors around a little bit easier. And I also think that putting in a plaza where there is some green space would be a definite boon to the kids in our community.
Okay, very good. There has been considerable dissension on the City Council over travel expenses for the mayor or council members to attend conferences like the U.S. Mayor's Conference or the League of Cities, California Cities. How important do you believe it is for council members or the mayor to attend such conferences, and should the city be funding that to the degree it's possible?
I believe they should. That the mayor and the city council people need to have a view of the bigger picture, and that on these conferences that the mayor has been kept from going to, that there might be opportunities to learn about things that we don't have in the city, and that they do need to get out. I think, unfortunately, there's a very vocal minority that looks to save every penny they can, but meanwhile are not saving the dollars.
Yeah, penny wise, pound foolish, maybe. We're asking, again, all candidates the same questions. What are the major sources of your campaign contributions, Patrick, and do you have any potential conflicts of interest that should be disclosed to voters?
Mostly just residents. I have not taken any money from developers. I have a couple of family members that have kicked in, and that's it. It's just...
Okay. Have you donated money to any other candidates or PACs that are active in this race? We've certainly seen some mailers flying around attacking, not yourself, but one of the other candidates in the race. Do you have any involvement or know who, or have you donated, you know, to any PACs that are funding these sorts of things?
I do not, and I think that it just turns my stomach when I see that that's what we need to turn to decide who's going to be on the city council.
Okay. East County Magazine routinely conducts background checks on all candidates running for city council or higher offices. And that includes an online search of Google, the tax assessor, the San Diego court records, and the Secretary of State and FPPC. The only thing we found on yours was you did have a bankruptcy some years ago and some back taxes in New York a number of years ago. Would you like the opportunity to comment or clarify that, Patrick?
Well, that's all been cleared up. I had a business that was relying on print advertising at a time when the magazine industry was declining, mm-hmm. and I was a little overextended and needed to declare bankruptcy, but back on my feet and feeling confident about the future.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. And certainly I think it's an interesting sign of the times that all but one of the candidates in this race had at least some past financial issue, as have many people in probably many of our listeners as well. Who are your key endorsements, Patrick?
I am a Democrat, and the San Diego County Democratic Party has endorsed me, as has Congresswoman Susan Davis and our Assemblywoman Shirley Weber. I've also been very happy to receive Jim Wiebolt of the Parking Commission and Dexter Levy of the Planning Commission mm-hmm. that feel that I am the best candidate for the job, and it's that local endorsements that
Fair
mean
nice.
The
so
most
you have
to
some
me.
Bipartisan support there, looks like. If elected, what is the first thing that you would like to do for La Mesa?
Well, first I would go down to Home Depot and get some paint my name on the door. But after that, I think the things that I would like to see happen are, I think we should expand the Wi-Fi coverage that we offer, that this is something that in this day and age we should really be cutting edge as far as getting people able to be connected. And I think that looking to get more transportation options for seniors would be another thing that I would be looking strongly at.
Very good. Are there any other issues you believe are important to the city that you wanted to discuss?
The idea that we really need to look to the future and find a way to have a great town square that will allow La Mesa to grow into the future and keep our quality of life as good as it is now.
Well, there you go. La Mesa certainly is a city, a historic city that just celebrated its centennial. And it's interesting to hear what the candidates' plans are as they look ahead for the next 100 years. Thank you so much for joining us today, Patrick. Where can people get more information about yourself and your campaign?
You can go to my website. That is www.deanforlamesa, all spelled out, .com.
Very good. And listeners, if you tuned in late, we've been speaking with Patrick Dean, who is one of the five candidates running for the La Mesa City Council. Thank you so much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you, Miriam.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, reporting at our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. We are continuing our interviews with the La Mesa City Council candidates. There are five candidates running. And today, my very special guest next up is Pete Grigorovic. Pete is a business attorney, longtime practice locally. He's lived in La Mesa for 33 years. He's a father, a grandfather, and he's been active on the board of a number of youth sports organizations. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam.
So let's start out by asking what made you decide to run for the city council.
Well, it started years ago with my involvement with youth sports as the president of La Mesa National Little League and vice president of the La Mesa Athletic Council. A mandate came down from the then city council to have local leagues using city and school fields contribute to what's called a capital improvement fund. The city council proposed an amount per league that would have increased fees by at least $100 per family or per participant. That would have decimated youth sports in La Mesa. Mm. So with that, I started understanding that what seems good at a city council level doesn't sometimes translate well down to the local families.
Yeah.
So that got my interest. And then over the years, once my youngest son, who's now 19 and a sophomore at Cal Lutheran University, left home, I had some time on my hands, and when two open seats came up, I decided to run.
What do you consider your most important qualifications, skills, or experience for the job?
Obviously, I'm an attorney. I think my experience has led me to be able to look at issues from all sides. Mm-hmm. I have represented national companies, very large companies, to mom-and-pop stores. And I believe that I am well qualified to negotiate deals, to look at deals that have been negotiated before the contracts are signed, to examine them for unintended consequences, and to bring a very fresh vision to this city council.
Okay. What does leadership mean to you?
To me, leadership is almost an innate ability to take charge, to have a strong voice, to roll up your sleeves and get jobs done. I'm not one who will join a committee and then just join it to say I'm a committee member. In elementary school, after I joined the PTA, I was president for 3 years. With Little Leagues, I ended up president of Little Leagues. Even though now it's many, many years since my last child played Little League, I'm on the Little League International District 33 staff as an assistant district administrator. So leadership is not being afraid not only to join, but to get involved and to get things done and to have accomplishments attributed to you.
Okay. Thank you for that. Redevelopment and infill are major issues in La Mesa, which is only 9 square miles and pretty well fully built out. What is your definition of smart growth for the city?
Smart growth for La Mesa at the primary level means growth within the current specific plans. And there's 3 specific plans. The hot topic plan right now is the La Mesa Village plan, which has a 4-story maximum height.
What are your views and value on the height and density limits that we have?
Well, for the village area, I think the 4-story limit fits within the character of the downtown La Mesa Village. Mm-hmm. There is a park station project that has become a very hot topic. I've been at many of the meetings.
Yeah. The high rise started out proposed at 18 stories and then they knocked it down to 11. Now we hear it may be coming back at 8. The Planning Commission said no to the 11-story
version. Or 11.
So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, when I spoke at not this last Planning Commission meeting, but the one before it, I actually turned to the Kitzman family members that were present and told them I didn't know what they were thinking by taking the advice of non-La Mesa companies to go to 10 stories and try to pitch it at that.
Yeah.
To me, that's bad negotiation strategies. If they were looking for something between 10 and 4, starting at 10 or above 10 really turned off the residents. And by the number of people who showed up at all these meetings, you can tell there's a groundswell against anything above 4.
Yeah.
But as a La Mesa, and I'm the only candidate and only council member who I believe's view from their own property would be impacted by this development, mm-hmm. I think you have to look to the greater good. And La Mesa is desperate for revenue. And if new development brings in revenue, I think perhaps there can be compromises to a height limit that would be acceptable to residents as well as the city officials.
How important is sustainability and addressing climate change issues at the city level to you? And what would your priorities from a green or sustainability standpoint be if you're elected?
So much of sustainability and green efforts are beyond the control of the local level. But what we can do as a city is look at how we utilize what I will call city water. And by city water, I mean the water actually the city uses. So what does the city use water for? Much of it goes to water grass in our parks. I've said at one candidate session that maybe the city council should get on a bus and go to Phoenix and see how they use their parks, because we're in a drought, a 3-year drought that apparently has no end and we can't predict the future. I think we have to direct our water usage and not just mandate to the residents how they need to use their water. And so that would start with maybe looking for grants and funding on how to renovate our parks to more drought-resistant features, and direct the water we use to the baseball fields, football fields, soccer fields, so that our children can still participate in outdoor activities.
Okay. Do you believe that the city should be working to create a new civic center and or city hall? And what is your vision for the major undeveloped lands that the city owns?
I believe that new development is good for any city. So in that line, I would like to see a new city hall built. Perhaps it becomes a public-private partnership with the parcel that the Park Station project is planned for. Again, not being a city council member with access to a city attorney, I don't know all of the issues. But one of the issues I would look at is whether the city could encourage that developer to participate with